If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. We do appreciate the good song service and certainly appreciate your prayers tonight. And I know we've got several that are sick and we've got those who are not able to be with us. And let's continue to remember them in prayer. Our preacher brethren and sent out from this church, both of them dealing with some trials of their own. And let's be much in prayer for them and their families. And that being said, I know it's not just preachers that have trouble and trials, but each and every one. We could probably just go around the room and come up with a great list of things we all need to be praying for. And I know we have a time for prayer requests, and a lot of times we just speak. I know those that may be sick in the hospital, and a lot of times we leave off personal requests probably that we might would consider be unspoken requests. God does know those unspoken requests. But we do all have things that we face, and so let's pray one for another. Matthew chapter 8. You know, if I was to ask, do you believe God? I know I'm in a landmark, Faithway Landmark Missionary Baptist Church, and the answer will be, yes, I believe in God. I say, do you believe God? Yes, I believe God. What do you believe about God? What do you believe God is capable of doing? The answer, I believe, would be unanimous. That I believe God can do whatever God wants to do. That He's unlimited. I believe that. But that might be the simple answer, the easy answer for all of us. But the truth is, that is put to the test almost on a daily basis. And so often we fail that test. So often we do not trust God. We do not believe God whenever the rubber meets the road. Whenever we get put in those situations that calls for us to completely trust the Lord. It's in those times that we want to try to handle things on our own. And so thus God has us as children of God, and we are growing and we are learning to trust Him each and every day. And that's what I want to kind of highlight tonight, is the fact we are learning to trust God, and that we need to come to that point where we're willing to trust Him in every part of our life with anything that we face. That's what God wanted out of His disciples. That's what God wants out of us individually. That's what He wants out of His church. Matthew 8, verse 23. And when He was entered into a ship, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But He was asleep. And His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And He said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey Him? Now, the disciples, let's look at them just a minute, because when Jesus came walking up on the shores of Galilee, no doubt John had been preparing a people. He had been preparing a called out group of people that no doubt they were waiting for the Lord. And whenever John said, you know, lift up your eyes, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. There were those that would follow Him. Jesus walked by the shores and He saw Simon Peter and Andrew, and they were there seemingly mending their nets, and the Lord said, come and follow me. And the Bible says they dropped their nets and they followed Him. Brother Hollis, that is great faith for Jesus to call and for someone to answer like they did. Just to drop everything and follow the Lord. That is a great faith. So these men, they trusted the Lord's in so much that they dropped their nets. They trusted Him as Savior. Certainly, they believed that He was their Savior, and they were no doubt saved men even in the work of God. They learned to trust the Lord in their ministries. as they would go out, and God, of course, being apostles, they had apostolic unique gifts that they were able to do some things that, you know, maybe to heal, also to cast out devils and things like that. And they were amazed that when they trusted the Lord, they were able to do these great works of God. They learned to trust Him in many areas of their life. But now what I've just read to you, they got on a boat with Him. He said, let us go to the other side. They get on the boat and a tempest comes, a mighty wind comes on them, and the waves begin to come over into the boat with them. And Jesus is there asleep, and they go and they say, Lord, save us, we perish. And the Lord points out that they are of little faith. Now on the surface, that almost seems unfair. We know it's not, because the Lord is perfect in every way. And the Lord knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. So in order to understand this is not unfair, we have to also understand the Lord knew their heart. And He knew the doubt that was there. He said they were of little faith. That means that there was doubt in their hearts. And so He points that out to us. So after the Lord calms the storm, the Bible also says, and this is another clue that they were very doubtful. That clue is, it says, they marveled. They were amazed. They just could not believe what just happened. The Lord just told the wind to be still, and it obeyed Him. They were amazed that God could command the wind, and even the wind had to obey Him. And so they learned a lesson there. They learned to trust Him a little bit more on that day. So what I want to get across tonight is this. When their lives were hanging in the balances, they doubted. So it's one thing to trust the Lord whenever He's called you to a work. It's one thing to call to trust the Lord in your ministry or doing the work of God. It's another thing to trust the Lord. I believe they had to trust Him financially, because they left their nets behind, meaning that that was their livelihood. You remember there come a time, Brother Russell, whenever Peter said, look, the tax collector's at the door and we've got to pay our taxes, and just kind of maybe almost in a panic that there's no way to pay our taxes. We haven't made any money this year, and they still come. Look, taxes come around whether you're able to make the money or not, but they come. And Jesus said, just go fishing, Peter. And he trusted the Lord with that. And the Lord sent him out and he caught a fish and he took money out of the fish's mouth to go pay the taxes. So every day they're learning to trust the Lord. They're trusting Him with their livelihood, and they're trusting Him with all these different things. But now their life is on the line, and now it's the wind and it's the waves that's coming over in the boat. And this just seemingly is too much for anyone. It's seemingly, certainly too much for us. It's too much for us disciples. It's too much for any man. This is the wind we're talking about. As our world would say that, this is Mother Nature that's coming upon us. And who can fight nature? And yet, Jesus showed them, I can handle any situation that you ever face. I can tell the wind to be still and it will obey. So, when their lives were hanging in the balance, that's when they doubted. Now, I want to ask you this tonight. What do you believe God can do? And I asked that to start with, and I kind of answered it, just rhetorical question, because now I want you to think about that answer. Because we say, well, I know God can do anything. I know God, He can bless in any situation. But let me ask it this way. How far are you willing to trust Him? Now, that should be a question we ask ourselves each and every day. And in each and every trial that we face, how far am I really willing to trust the Lord? Because every day brings new trials. Every day brings new challenges. Every day brings things that, well, there's things that will come along today And today there you have faced trials that will break your heart. And tomorrow there will be a trial that will tempt you in one area of your life. And tomorrow there will be a trial to come along that might put a financial strain on you. And down the road, there may come a trial that will test you concerning your family. And over here, a month from all of these, there'll be one that come along and will tempt you or that will try you to trust the Lord financially. And the list goes on and on. We constantly have wave after wave of things that come our way. And they ask the question, how far are you willing to trust the Lord today? How often do you surrender in word only? Oh yeah, I know God can do it. I know God is big. I know God can do anything. That's easy to say from the pulpit. That's easy to say when we're not facing that big trial. It's easy to say, I believe God can do anything whenever the anything is small. But whenever the anything is huge and it's pressing on me and the weight feels like it's going to crush me, now's the time that I'm to trust God. And so often that's the time whenever we say, you know what, I've got to handle this on my own. God is really not coming to my aid. God is really not going to fix this. And so I've got to fix it the best way I know how. That's one way to show that we are too of little faith. Can I ask you this? What good is trust that only takes us to the problem, but not through the problem? Well, I've trusted God all this way, but now I'm facing a problem I just don't know if He can handle. That's where these men on the boat, that's where they are. We've trusted the Lord all the way till now, but now we're facing the wind, and the wind's just too big. Oh, you have little faith. What good is a faith that stops short of accomplishment? What good is a faith that has a hinge of doubt in the center of it? If God can, but He chooses not to, let's deal with that just a minute. Well, I know God can, He just might not. You know what? We usually look at that as a disappointment. And we look at it as, well, really, God has let me down. I won't say that. But it feels like God has let me down. Because I know He can do it, but I'm just not sure He will do it. And so, really, He's disappointing me. But if I say that, I'm going to be in trouble with Him. So I won't even say it. I just feel it. I just believe it in my heart. Again, I point out to you, the Lord is able to know the thoughts and intents of your heart. He knew the thoughts and intents of His disciples too. I know He can, but I'm just not sure He will. You remember the three Hebrews? They knew that too. But they didn't look at that as a disappointment. Remember what they said, the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they spoke to the king. The king said, maybe you did not hear us when I start playing all this manner of music. And they said, king, we're not even careful to answer you concerning this. Our God is able, but even if He does not, we still are not going to bow to you. And they said that with the utmost confidence. You know why? They were willing to trust God, not just to the problem. We're going to trust Him through the problem. And if we die, we die. But we are going to die trusting in the Lord. That's faith. Faith is not, I believe God until the bottom falls out and then I've got this on my own. Faith is trusting the Lord right on through the problem. So, if we were, let's just say we were on a trail and there's a mountain in the distance. You know, some of those mountain plains where you can see for miles and miles and there's a mountain in the distance. Let's say we're on that road and we're walking. And we've trusted, I'm going to trust the Lord to get me to that mountain. And then we trust the Lord all the way and the Lord gets us to the mountain. And then we get to the mountain and we look at that mountain and say, but I don't know that God can help me to get over that mountain. Can I ask you this? Wouldn't it be better for us just to surrender that the same God that got me to the mountain, I can surrender the mountain to Him as well? He will help me get over that mountain, or around that mountain, or through that mountain, or however He wants to take me. But I'm going to trust Him. Problem is, so often we get to a point where we say, in our heart, we say, I just don't know if I can trust Him now. I believe God has brought me to this point in my life, and He has never let me down. If I ask that question, probably every one of us say the same, have the same answer. I know God has blessed me. I know God has brought me to this point in my life, and I know that God has never let me down. But then we come up against the unknown. We come up against a mountain of problems, or a problem, one problem as big as a mountain. And we say, I'm not sure He's going to help me here. If that's the case, don't you believe He would say to us, oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. Why trust Him yesterday, but we can't trust Him today? Why trust Him with all the other things in our life back here? When we look back, we say, oh, God, help me over this problem and that problem. And God, help me through this bind. And God, help me through this heartache. And God's grace was sufficient each and every time. But now I'm looking at something that just seems so big. How great it is to surrender the next part of our journey unto the Lord. To trust Him that He will do the good in this situation as well. As a woman walked up, began to wash Jesus' feet with her tears, and she began to dry them with her hair. You remember that story? That's a beautiful story to me. Such a humble woman, and a woman of reputation. People looked down upon her. You know, that took a lot of faith to do that, didn't it? What do you mean? She just walked in and began to cry. She did not know how that was going to. She didn't know how it was going to go. She surrendered her pride. I don't care who you are, or how base maybe your life has been. We all have some sort of pride. And the thought of walking in and bowing down before somebody and crying and wiping someone's feet with your hair, that takes a certain amount of humility. And this woman, she surrendered her pride, willing to take the shame. She was willing to let everyone think what they wanted to think. When she walked through that door, Brother Calvin, in her mind, I don't care what all these people think about me, because I know what I am. I know my reputation. I know I've failed. Look, let them talk. Let them say what they're going to say. I've just got to get to Jesus. That is a great faith. Whenever we come to a place to realize what I have to do is just get to the Lord. He will take it from there. He will take it from that point on. Woman with an issue of blood, she tried to get through the crowd. In her mind, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, He's going to help me. If I can just get to Him, He will take it from there. She trusted that. It don't matter what people think. All that matters is that I get to the Lord. All right, look over at Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 22. This is Paul speaking here. He says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. So he admits, I'm going and I don't know what's going to happen to me. I know that people are very, very hostile toward the church. People are dying because of Jesus. Martyrs, they've stoned Stephen to death. I was there whenever that happened. Speaking of Paul, Saul at the time. He says, I don't know the things that will befall me there. Verse 23, save the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Now, get in mind what he's saying. I don't know what's about to happen to me. All I know is this, that the Holy Ghost is letting people know, and this word is coming to me. He's witnessing in every city saying that bonds, I'm going to jail, and afflictions, they're going to hurt me. That's what abides me. That's what's waiting on me. That's scary. That sounds terrible. Look at verse 24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Someone may say, well, I don't have a death wish, preacher. Know what I say to that? Neither did Paul. Neither did Paul. He just surrendered to the fact that God will do the good. God's going to do what's right. I'm going to trust Him to it, and I'm going to trust Him through it. God will do what's right. That's what Paul believed here. I don't know what's going to happen. All I know is this, that I'm hearing about bonds. I hear that I'm probably going to end up in prison. I hear that they are going to torment me. They're going to afflict me. But none of that moves me. I don't even count my own life dear. Why, Paul? Why is that? So that I can finish this course that I started with joy. How can you have joy knowing that's what's waiting, or at least understanding that some of that nature is waiting on you? How can you have joy? Because Paul trusted God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing better than I do. So Paul trusted the Lord in life and in death. So that freed him to preach and have joy in all situations. Imagine that. Imagine trusting God in such a way that no matter what you face, just got my eyes on Him and I'm going to finish this thing up with faith. What joy that would bring to be able to surrender to God knows what He's doing. And all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And so I can just trust Him. That's how David can run to the giant. Because I know God is going to do what's right. So I'm going to trust Him. That's how Gideon could charge forward with 300 men. Against an innumerable army. That's how he could trust Him. That's how he could do that, because he trusted in the Lord. That's how those three Hebrews could stand even when they were about to get fired, literally, about to get thrown into the fire. So we're not even careful to answer you. We're not going to bow. That's final. God's going to do what's right. And we're going to trust Him all the way to death. To live is Christ and die is gain. That's what Paul said. Again, that's not Paul saying, I'm ready to die, I want to die. He was torn between the two because he realized, when I die, I'm going to glory and all's going to be well. But he also knew that I've got a job to do and I'm going to do it as long as God gives me breath. When we are able to live with such liberty then the storm does not matter quite as much. Then prison doesn't sound so scary. Then persecution from others. Why, according to Scripture, we can even count that as joy. We can count it as joy when somebody says, or when we realize we're going to be persecuted for the cause of Christ. I had an uncle, he used to say this all the time. You know, us kids, we would always, you know how kids are, overwhelmed with everything. And you'd run to them, oh, this happened. He'd say, that ain't no hill for a stepper. What I'm preaching tonight, let's learn to be steppers. There ain't no hill for a stepper. What you're facing is nothing for your God if you will surrender to Him and not just trust Him up to the situation, but trust Him through it, all the way through it, all the way to the end. If so, if need be, all the way unto death. Can I ask you again tonight, because I want you to reconsider your answer we started with. How much do you really trust God? Brother Brad, but I don't understand. Brother Brad, I'm just not sure what He's up to. And if I knew what He was up to, then I believe I could trust Him. I'm going to tell you something about understanding and being sure what God is up to. Those things are not near as important as simply trusting that He's going to do what's right. When you trust that God's going to do what's right, then you have freedom to follow Him wherever He leads. Go ask for some.